Welcome to Ilrisi's Audio Plays, a podcast where its creator would give the life of the projects and the characters that the creator voices. Here, please welcome the creator of the podcast, voice actor, stage actor, and audio play creator, Ulrik Acheson.
Hello, everyone! It's me, Ulrik Acheson, and I'd like you to welcome to the second season of Ilrisi's Audio Plays. I am back after a hiatus that took me a bit of a time away from my own recordings of my own audio plays, and I got one of a doozy episodes of Ilrisi's Audio Plays. It's called The Curse of Poetry. In case if you're wondering why I'm doing this one, is basically just a note, there are gonna be three characters that provided two poems in one episode. So basically, I am hoping that you guys would enjoy the episode, by the way, and give me a follow on Anchor FM, and also with that, Spotify, and other platforms that are available for podcasting purposes. And also with this, I hope that you guys would also join the Bronze Pinnacle Studios Discord server, which I started, by the way, and hopefully you would like Bronze Pinnacle Studios' Facebook page, and also follow me on Twitter at Ulrik T. Acheson. So anyways, I had to go ahead and get you to the episode. So I'm gonna cue it in, everyone. Cue it in! Hello there! I am wondering what is going on in the world today. The COVID-19 pandemic has taken the lives of 200,000 people across the land of the free and the home of the brave. What? The COVID-19 pandemic? Why hasn't everyone across our 50-state union wearing masks? If we wore our masks for 30 days, we'll not have COVID-19 coming back to our lands and do away with the coronavirus. It doesn't work like that, neighbor. Why is that, neighbor? Well, see the current death count of the current pandemic and how the personalities and voiceover are keeping up with their own spare time? People are either streaming video games on Twitch TV, writing works for themselves to do, or even play video games while waiting for a safe and effective vaccine. I never thought of that, neighbor. Thank you. You're welcome, neighbor. What are you going to do today, then? I guess I'm going to write some poems. All right. I'm going to write my own poems as well. My first poem, The Tall Stranger at High Street. One day at a cake shop, I met a man selling crepes. For money, he wanted a swap, but I really wanted some landscapes. Got any landscapes? Asked me. For that's how I will spend my money. No landscapes here, said the guy. He seemed to find it quite funny. We got some lovely cakes. I'll give you a very fine price. I'd rather have some earthquakes. The man blinked rapidly, thrice. The man seemed exceptionally amazing, and his manner was strangely amused. He wasn't what I would call blazing. Great Dizane, he noticeably oozed. Like others, he thought I was odd. Some say I'm a bit tall. Still, he gave me a gracious nod, as if he thought I was plenty small. So in search of my goal, I departed. But before the cake shop could, I leave. The man came running full-heartedly. I can help you, I believe. Crepes, landscapes you shall find. Cakes, earthquakes you can get. You must now open your mind and get down to High Street Market. So to High Street Market I decided to go. In search of the landscapes I craved, the wind it did eerily blow, but I felt that the day could be saved. There were stalls selling buns, pastries in many shades. There were even stalls selling home runs. People were scattered from many trades. I was greeted by a peculiar lady. She seemed to be rather tall. I couldn't help thinking she might be quite shady. I wondered if she was at all small. Before I could open my mouth, she shouted, "For you, I have some landscapes." I headed towards her to the south, past some cakes and crepes, and I asked, "But how did you know? Do you want them or not?" she did say. Silently, the landscapes she passed, then vanished before I could pay. As I walked away, I heard a crackle. Or was it a... or was it perhaps a hushed cackle? Wow! Such a powerful narrative poem, neighbor! I'm writing a narrative poem of my own. My narrative poem is called The Hyperactive Stranger at Greenway. One day, at a pie shop, I met a man selling cats. For money, he wanted to swap. But I really wanted some at-bats. "Got any at-bats?" I asked. "For that's how I'll spend my money." "No at-bats here," said the guy. He seemed to find it quite funny. "We got some lovely pasties. I'll give you a very fine price. I'd rather have some pestis." The man blinked rapidly thrice. The man seemed exceptionally calm, and his manner was strangely amused. He wasn't what I would call a bum. Great Dizane, he noticeably oozed. Like others, he thought I was odd. Some people say that I am a bit hyperactive. Still, he gave me a courteous nod, as if he thought I was plenty radioactive. So, in search of my goal, I departed. But before the pie shop I could leave, the man came running full-hearted, saying, "I can help you, I believe. Cats, at-bats, you shall find. Pasties and pastas, you can get. You must now open your mind and get down to Greenway Market." So to Greenway Market, I decided to go. In search of at-bats I craved, the winds, it did eerily blow, but it felt that the day could be saved. There were stalls that sell apples, cakes in many shades. There were even stalls selling pineapples. People were scattered from many trades. I was greeted by a peculiar lady. She seemed to be rather hyperactive, but I couldn't help thinking she might be shady. I wonder if she was at all radioactive. Before I could open my mouth, she shouted, "For you, I have some at-bats!" At her towards... I headed towards her to the south, past some pasties and cats. I asked, "But how did you know? Do you want them or not?" she did say. Silently, the at-bats she passed, then vanished before I could even pay. As I walked, I heard a crackle, or was it a hushed cackle? All right, what's next, neighbor? Let's do a line-by-line poem. I'll have mine with humanity. Humanity. In a kingdom full of people. Humanity. The tormentor of my dreams. I heard a happy human tapping. Humanity, said I, the thing of perfectibility. When I thought of the humanity, I awoke and flung the humanitarian. Once I sat engaged and chatting, my passion is the humane sinfulness. Excellent line by line poem, neighbor. I'll do one of my own as well. It's called Gold. Gold. When I thought of the gold in a kingdom full of gold, on that day my soul grew lonely. By the grave, I saw the holes. Gold, chuckled I. Yes, gold! Deep into that darkness, meddling, once I sat engaged and fearing, once upon a midnight colored. Excellent two poems there, neighbors. What? Lucien? What are you doing here, neighbor? I am doing the same thing as well. First narrative poem, The Pink Stranger at Camden. One day at a dress shop, I met a man selling cats. For money, he wanted to swap, but I really wanted some technocrats. Got any technocrats? Asked I. For that's how I will spend my money. No technocrats here, said the guy. He seemed to find it quite funny. We got some lovely chips. I'll give you a very fine price. I'd rather have some proprietorships. The man blinked rapidly thrice. The man seemed exceptionally mighty, and his manner was strangely amused. He wasn't what I call flightedly. A great disdain he noticeably oozed. Like others, he thought I was odd. Some say I am a bit pink. Still, he gave me a gracious nod, as if he thought I was plenty stink. So, in search of my goal, I departed. But before the dress shop I could leave, the man came running, full-hearted, by saying, "I can help you, I believe! Cats! Technocrats you shall find, chips and proprietorships you can get. You must now open your mind and get down to Camden Market." So to Camden Market I decided to go. In search of the technocrats I craved, the winds it did eerily blow, but I felt that the day can't be saved. There were stalls selling marbles, socks in many shades. There were even stalls selling garbles. People are scattered from many trades. I greeted by a peculiar lady. She seemed to be rather pink. I couldn't help thinking she might be quite shady. I wondered if she was at all stink. Before I could open my mouth, she shouted, "For you, I have some technocrats!" I headed towards her to the south, past some chips and cats. I asked, "But how did you know that I needed technocrats? Do you want them or not?" she did say. Silently, the technocrats surpassed, then vanished before I could pay for them. As I walked away, I heard a crackle. Or was it a perhaps a hush cackle? And now for the line-by-line poem called Technology. Much I marveled the technological photomicrography. Technology, I chuckled. Yes, technology! I woke and flung the microelectronics. Once I sat engaged and waiting, technology, tormentor of my dreams. On that day, my soul grew splendid. When I thought of the technology, once upon my midnight computerized, what do you think, neighbors? Not half bad there, neighbor. I could second that, neighbor. Wow, I never thought my poetry wasn't not all that bad. Thank you, neighbors. And this is the end of the first episode of season 2 of Elreezy's Audio Plays. I just thought you should know that the next episode will be coming tomorrow. And also the note with this in mind, I am back from a hiatus, so basically my writing isn't all that rusty as much as it used to be. And the next episode is going to be audio play I originally did back in June of 2020, which used to be on my Google Drive, which is called Royal Battles, which I wrote entirely on my own. And it was a derivation from the College of Adaptive Arts' anthology radio play that I did back in spring called, what was it? Family Reunions. Yes, Family Reunions. And I hope you will enjoy that one like I did with this one. Alright. I'm out of here. So, Elric signing out. Bye. Hello, everyone. It's me, Elric Gottesen, and I would like you to welcome you to the second episode of season 2 of Elreezy's Audio Plays, sponsored by Anchor FM. It's pretty damn easy to make a podcast happen straight from your own eyes. Anyways, I'm going to present you with the second episode of season 2 of Elreezy's Audio Plays. So, enjoy! With the chaos turning into a boiling point, a royal stepbrotherly feud between the two of the kingdom's heirs were arguing back and forth while King Timothy was resting on his own deathbed. Harold, who is the stepson of King Timothy, claims that he holds the reins of the kingdom, which he wants to turn the kingdom to a dukedom. And Merrick, the king's only legitimate son, who is the crown prince of the kingdom. At long last, Harold, this castle's hallowed halls are going to be your final resting place. Today, I'm going to end your life as you repent for the day that you stole my crown as the prince to my father's kingdom. For the future the Lord of the kingdom, Merrick! Everyone, focus on defeating the crown prince of delusion, Merrick! Let the battle commence, my younger stepbrother. Advance! I am Maxion Lord. Not so fast, Merrick.
damn it! Why?
Your own stepfather,
his stepfather,
to try to take the throne away from him.
the Lord's
Any of your co-conspirators
to
are sentenced to death
with you
him. For the same
Any
crime
of treason
are sentenced to death.
Surrender
now, and we'll give you clemency.
No! I can't allow this! I'm going to take some of your soldiers with me! Yeah!
Duke Harold, the stepbrother of the new Lord Merrick, has fallen. Now, Merrick and his forces are mourning the loss of some of Merrick's men. Yet with Harold dead, the kingdom fell to Merrick. I am Elric Gottesen, and I would like you to welcome you to the third episode of Season 2 of Elreezy's Audio Plays. Tonight, I'm going to present you Jimmy Robinson, Protector of Insanity, which is written by me. Because, in case if you're wondering, The only character in this is Jimmy Robinson. And this story takes place in 1989 in London, England, the United Kingdom. And this is while he was the Prime Minister. So this is historical fiction, so note that in mind for our future reference. Alright? So please enjoy the episode. And also, this episode, just like every other episode, is sponsored by Anchor FM. It's pretty easy to start a podcast from your own little noggins and from your own eyes. Enjoy the episode. I'm gonna cue it in. These are times of grief. These are times of sorrow for our people in the British Empire. They are witnessing death upon death due to the virus that we would have in the future. In case if you're wondering why people are going to experience death by death here, it's because the coronavirus would be coming for all of us in the near future. And it's happening. The Bold and Funny Tiger, written by me. Whose tiger is that? I think I know. Its owner is quite happy, though. Full of joy, like a vivid rainbow. I watch him laugh. I cry hello. He gives his tiger a shake and laughs until her belly aches. The only other sounds, the break of distant waves and birds awake. The tiger is funny, bold, and deep. But he has promises to keep. After cake and lots of sleep, sweet dreams come to him cheap. He rises from his gentle bed with thoughts of kittens in his head. He eats his jam with lots of bread and ready for the day ahead. Imagination, written by me. I saw the thoughtful care of my generation destroyed. How I mourned the modern mind. Mortal, modern mind, down, down, down into the darkness of the modern mind. Gently it goes, the brutally unheading and reflective. Don't believe that the primitive psyche is uncreative. The primitive psyche is creative beyond belief. Now, ingenious is just the thing to get me wondering if the primitive psyche is productive. I cannot help but stop and look at this little ideological illusion. Hum, hum, hum. Why would you think the ready resource is fatless? The ready resource is the most fat inventiveness of all. Now Tubby is just the thing to get me wondering if the ready resource is rotund. Friendship, written by me. In a kingdom full of feelings, take thy jealousy from out of my heart. It threw its ghosts against the relations.
and so I screamed. Is that a sadness? The ally brought such sorrow, and so I screamed. Is that an impression? Back into my memories, regretting. It threw its ghost against the misgivings. The taste brought such sorrow. Jello, jello! And so I screamed, is that a predilection? Death shall bring condolences. I threw my treachery upon the floor, remembering many like pleasure intentions. My mind always strays to prayers. Eagerly I looked for the curiosity. Only this and a dialogue, impacting and impacting with my peacemaking. I had dreamed of interest slacking. I threw my consultation upon the floor, and so I screamed, is that a sister? While I pondered, mum and galore. Do you like boar? Take thy rage from out of my heart, remembering many weeping, saddened printouts. It was la, tart, multipart, somewhat louder than the whereabouts, and the goodbyes never guilting, and its eyes have all the setting. And the viewing was jetting, netting with my setting, with such a passion for offsetting, the fellowship never regretting. All my soul within me, betting. Offsetting with my betting, with such a passion for besetting. I craved the facing, fraught fascination. Eagerly I looked for the background. What could be there be purely drowned? Hello everyone, it's me, Elric Galtzison, and I'd like you to welcome you to episode 4 of El Reezy's Audio Plays. And today's first episode is called Confusion of the King. And this podcast is sponsored by Anchor FM. It is really easy for you to start a podcast straight out of your phone and or computer. You can start a podcast over from there, starting from today onward. And it's free of charge in case if you want to start a podcast. Well, anyways, I'm going to start the episode. So, 3, 2, 1. And I'm cueing it in. My caring frog, you inspire me to write. I love the way you cuddle, hide, and walk, invading my mind day through the night. Always dreaming about the daring Brock. Let me compare you to a library. You are more glaring, excellent, and fair. Ice bites the debris of February, and wintertime has the uncanny wear. How do I love you? Let me count the ways. I love your arms and personality. How your personality fills my days. My love for you is illegality. Now, I must be away with a staring heart. Remember my hot words whilst we are apart. Because I could not theme for Halloween, it was a kindly theme for me. Pause to theme like Halloween does. I saw the sad and legal holiday of my generation destroyed. How I mourned Christmas. Are you upset by how wretched they are?
does it tear you apart to see Christmas so miserable? I cannot help but stop and look at the wind CGI. Does the CGI make you shiver? Does it? The yellow Carson sing like Tahoe averages. Ow, said the Carson. And ow, then ow again. The Wooly Alice sings like a classic Alice. Does the Alice make you shiver? Does it? Because I could not theme for Halloween, it was a kindly theme for me. Pause to theme, like Halloween does. Whose ghost is that? I think I know. Its owner is quite angry though. He was crossed like a dark potato. I watched him pace, I cry, hello. He gives his ghost a shake and screams, I have made a bad mistake. The only other sounds the break of distant waves and birds awake. The ghost is excited, unreal and deep, but he has promises to keep. Tormented with nightmares, he never sleeps. Revenge is a promise a man should keep. He rises from his cursed bed with thoughts of violence in his head. A flash of rage, he sees red. Without pause, I turned and fled. It was a beautiful, sad, single scene. It was a beautiful, smooth, smelly scene. It was a beautiful, slippery, sexy scene. It was a beautiful, stunning, strange scene. It was a beautiful, soft, stupid scene. It was a beautiful, spiffing, solemn scene. It was a beautiful, sweaty, small scene. It was a beautiful, sunny, sweet scene. It was a beautiful, stinky, slender scene. It was a beautiful, striking, slimy scene. It was a beautiful, super scary scene. It was a beautiful, smart, scrummy scene. It was a beautiful, slow, strong scene. It was a beautiful, silly scene. The end. Confusion of the King was written by Elric Gotteson. The voice director is Elric Gotteson. The voice of King Elliot is Elric Gotteson. And the project is created from Bronze Pinnacle Sound. And I'm hoping that you guys would enjoy what I have in store in the next episode. So, see you till then. Bye. Hello, and welcome to the next chapter of Jimmy Robinson's life, and I would like to call it Protector of Nature, and this is the next episode of El Reezy's Audio Plays, sponsored by Anchor FM. It is really that easy to start a podcast. So anyways, I'm Elric Gotteson. I'm the creator and the voice of Jimmy Robinson in Jimmy Robinson, Protector of Nature, and as well as its prequel, and even the sequels that are coming up eventually too. So, I'm hoping that you guys enjoy the episode, and I'm going to cue it in, everyone, so cue it in. After serving 5 years in an asylum, Jimmy Robinson would try to serve as nature's protector in the continent of Europe. And in 1990, Robinson was released from the asylum. I am back, Europe, and I intend to become the protector of nature for the European Union. Oh, hell. The hell? Oh, my God. I am no longer an insane person that people think of me back in 1985.
Okay, whatever.
Jimmy Robinson was appointed by the European Union as the Protector of Nature in 1991. It's an admit Jimmy Robinson some Nutzer der European Union. Thank you, Chancellor of Germany. Hello, I am Jimmy Robinson. I am appointed as Nature's Protector of the European Union, thanks to the Chancellor of Deutschland. As I swear to God Almighty that I will, and rightfully so, protect the nature of our own beloved continent of Europe. Even if it means if there's threats of war going on in our continent, like from Russia, or should I say, formerly known as the Soviet Union, as it will try to regain its former prestige and empire.
Okay,
so then he would meet with the Prime Minister of Britain, whom at the time was holding on to an imperial decree. Because with that imperial decree, it was for them to arrest Jimmy Robinson for treason. But is there any treasonous charges against him? Well, let's see. No! In fact, there is no treason at all. So, Jimmy Robinson wasn't committing treason. It was in fact one of the spies that was sent over from the British to the Russians in 1991. And the spy that went to Russia was arrested in 1993 by the British government on the acts of treason and selling information about with Jimmy Robinson's appointment as Nature's Protector of the European Union. And the spy was sentenced to death row in a prison in the United Kingdom, or should I say, in Edinburgh, which is in Scotland. Five years later, Robinson steps down as Nature's Protector of the European Union and retired in an island home in Sardinia, which is a modern-day province of the Republic of Italy. And in case if you're wondering here, at this point in time, Robinson was actually, in fact, closer to his 40s. But his political career isn't over yet. His political career would be decided in the upcoming chapters and see where it goes from there. Hopefully you will catch around in the next episode of Jimmy Robinson's Life, which will be coming out on Saturday, well, next Saturday, which is next week, so allow me to say this, but all characters are voiced by Elric Gotteson. The voice direction of this episode is from Elric Gotteson, and this episode, like all the other episodes on my podcast for seasons 1 and 2, are executively produced by Elric Gotteson and Katie Zeisel. The script however, was written by Elric Gotteson and Jimmy Robinson, who is a fictional character, by the way, was well thought up by Elric Gotteson. See you in the upcoming episodes for Jimmy Robinson, everyone. Bye. Episode 3 of Jimmy Robinson's life is going to be his own attempts of becoming Prime Minister of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. As well as his own personal life shows that he married an Italian woman as well. So, I hope that you guys would enjoy going through the last 3 chapters of Jimmy Robinson's life. Because he would go through 4 or 5 attempts of gaining power in the United Kingdom, which is a country that would soon leave the European Union, and it just left in 2020, in fact. I just thought you might know this fact by now, right? So anyways, I'm out of here. Bye.
Welcome to the newest episode of El Reezy's Audio Plays. Tonight, we have Priests from Beyond the Grave. And this episode is sponsored by Anchor FM. It is really that easy to start a podcast. You can go sign up for an account for Anchor, whether it's from your Facebook, Twitter, or even your own email, basically. And you can sign up whether by using your own desktop computer, your laptop, your cell phone, or even your own tablet. It is really that easy. Sign up for an account with Anchor FM today, and also favorite El Reezy's audio plays if you wish. Tonight's episode is Priests from Beyond the Grave. I am the podcast's creator, Elric Gotteson, and I am voicing all the characters that you'll see in this episode, and I am the scriptwriter for this episode, so I'm hoping that you'll enjoy the newest audio play, so I'm gonna cue it in. Today's story takes place in 1956 in Orange County, California. There is a crime family war between the Ludovico family in the northern Orange County, the Levenberg family in western Orange County, and the Melander family in the south and east of Orange County. This war will be dubbed the Bloody OC War, which is to be the Southern California version of Bloody Kansas. In case if you're wondering, this story is basically quite a bit of a spin-off to Merchant of Death. So I'm referencing Merchant of Death for this episode, and I'm sorry if I had to reference it for this episode. So, let's get to the act here for this episode. Oh, for heaven's sake! What is going on here? A crime family war in Orange County. It'll be dubbed the Bloody OC War. Thanks for letting me know, Botkin. I need to start a church service for today. Welcome, churchgoers, to our church as we'll be taking a reading from Psalm 121, 7-8. Balkin, read that first to everyone. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy going in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Thank you, Bodkin. There is a reason I needed the goers to come here. There is a crime war, a crime family war going to happen in Orange County. When is it going to happen, Pastor? Sometime around this week, I suppose. At 2. After the church service, the bloody OC war began, and it becomes a constant struggle for territory for the next 7 to 8 years. But this war is just going to be a stalemate between the three families. And so, after one of the family's leaders was killed, one of the families went to be dissolved, and that was the Levenberg family. The Levenberg's leader was shot and killed after a meeting with the Italian family, Ludovico crime family. And so, the Levenberg family's holdings in Western Orange County was absorbed to the Ludovicos from Northern OC. So then, we have a war between the North and South of Orange County, between the Ludovico and the Melander. And this is going on for 10 years. Now, to this point. So, now the story went to 1966. And a stalemate between the two families has been there for 9 years. At the point of the story. So, the leaders strategized that the only way to end the bloody OC war was for one of the families to be absorbed by the other, by the death of that opposing crime family leader. And that's the end of Act 2 of the story. Act 3 will be where the story will end. With this stalemate going on for long enough, the leaders of the family went on to strategize where they're gonna go from there, just to end the bloody OC war. The bloody OC war has been going on for now to be 15 years, to the point. And 15 years, that would be right now to be 1971. So right now, we are in 1971. The war has been going on for 15 years. The Melander family leader has passed, but now his brother took the reins, which would be the uncle of the young and the previous leaders. But the son of the previous leaders, previous family crime leader of the family, is still quite young and inexperienced.
So that involves a weakness in the Melander family camp. In the Ludovico family, however, we found a weakness. Let's go out there and eliminate the Melander family once and for all. Hold on a minute. What is it? I don't know what am I supposed to do, but can you strategize people and tell them what to do here? Alright, then. I order my lieutenants to kill the current leader of the Melander family and end this bloodbath of a struggle that's been going on for almost 2 decades. And unify Orange County in the name of the Ludovico. Any traditore of our family will be slain and would never be forgiven in the next life. Okay, I think we got the image there. Let's go. Let's get rid of the Melander family and end this bloodbath. And then, as the order was carried out, there were no traditores in the Ludovico's camp, so the order was successfully been given, and the Ludovico family's lieutenants marched in on the Melander camp and shot the leader of the Melander family. So now the Melander family is no more. And the Ludovico family has taken control of Orange County, which is a county in Southern California. And they have complete control for the next 50 years since then. No charges were ever made by the leaders of the Ludovico family. And that's why I'm calling this to be the end of the episode here. So, the end. The Priest from Beyond the Grave is written by Elric Gotteson. The director for the podcast is Elric Gotteson. The executive producer of this episode is Elric Gotteson. And the voice for all the characters that you'll be heard from the podcast is Elric Gotteson. Thank you all, and I hope you enjoy this episode. The next episode will be recorded later tonight, and it's going to be released tomorrow on Anchor FM and for other podcasting services, including Google Podcasts and Apple and all the other podcasting services. Thank you, and goodbye. Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of El Reezy's Audio Plays, sponsored by Anchor FM. It is really easy to start a podcast straight from your own little noggins, and even to start an account for free, I might add. Just sign up for an account with over at www.anchor.fm. You can start an account by your own laptop, your computer, or even your mobile device. And you have like various options for you to sign up for an account for today. So, for today's episode, we're going to Disguised by My Destiny.
By the way, I am Elric Gottesen, the creator of the podcast and also the producer of this podcast. And I'm hoping that you would enjoy my newest episode of Elreezy's Audio Plays. Our story begins in the Renaissance era. The Renaissance era was also the beginning of the era of colonialism. It was a period of European history marking the transition from the Middle Ages to modernity, and covering from the 15th to the 16th centuries. It occurred as the crisis of the late Middle Ages and was associated with great social change. In addition to the standard periodization, proponents of a long Renaissance put its beginning in the 14th century and its end in the 17th century. The traditional view focuses more on the early modern aspects of the Renaissance and argues it was a break from the past. But many historians today focuses more on its medieval aspects and argues that it was an extension to the middle of the Middle Ages. The intellectual aspects based on the Renaissance was its version of humanism derived from the concept of Roman humanitas and the rediscovery of Greek philosophy, such as that of Protagoras, who said that man was the measure of all things. This new thinking became the manifest of art, architecture, politics, science, and literature. Early examples of were the development of perspective in oil painting and the recycled knowledge of how to make concrete. Although the invention of metal movable type sped the dissemination of ideas from the later 15th century, the changes in the Renaissance were not uniformly experienced across Europe. The first traces appear in Italy as early as the late 13th century. In particular, the writings of Dante and the paintings of Giotto. As a cultural movement, the Renaissance encompassed innovative flowering of Latin and vernacular literatures beginning in the 14th century, resurgence of learning based on classical sources, which contemporaries credited by Petrarch, the development of linear perspective and other techniques of rendering a more natural reality in painting, and a gradual but widespread educational reforms. In politics, the Renaissance contributed to the development of the customs and conventions of diplomacy, and in science, to an increased reliance on observation and inductive reasoning. Although the Renaissance saw revolutions in many intellectual pursuits as well as social and political upheaval, it is perhaps known for its artistic developments and the contributions of such polymaths as Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo, who inspired the term Renaissance man. The Renaissance began in the 14th century of Florence, Italy. Various theories have been proposed to account for its origins and characteristics. Focuses
on a variety of factors, including the social and civic peculiarities of Florence at the time, its political structure, the patronage of its dominant family, the Medici, and the migration of Greek scholars and their texts to Italy following the fall of Constantinople to the Ottoman Turks, which inherited from the Timuranian Renaissance. The other major centers were the northern Italian city-states such as Venice, Genoa, Milan, Bologna, and Rome. During the Renaissance papacy are Belgian cities such as Bruges, Ghent, Brussels, Leuven, and Antwerp. Like a big fish in a small pond, I grew the pond to be a great river. This is where my story begins. I served for the King James of the First from the Imperial House of Stuart. The year is 1598. William Adams, who would later be known as Anjan Miora, was imprisoned for a while in the Tower of London. He would escape in 1599. That was without the notice to slip from John Dee's mouth. Who the bloody hell is there? Hello there, Lord Alchemist D. Adams is escaping. Should you do something about that? Why the hell should I, Cod? Why in the bloody hell should I, Cod? I am talking to my clone of my friend Kelly. What a fool. A fool like Adams has no right of escaping from the Tower of London. Think again, Dean Kelly. I have escaped from the hellhole that is the Tower of London. I am going to explore Japan and become Anjan Miura. Goodbye, lads. Pip-pip, tally-ho. God damn it. Why did Adams escape from us? From England, even. Did he have his intentions be sound and pure here? Yeah, it sounds like it, D. I know that, Cod. Kelly, I'm sending you over to Japan to pursue after Adams. And also to get Amrita from the Land of the Rising Sun. By later, as soon as Adams arrived in Japan, Kelly went into Japan in pursuit of Amrita for John Dee. And Elricod is planning to tell Adams that he should have not escaped to Japan. And then, with that in mind, said here, Adams didn't listen to Cod. And Cod remained in England soon afterwards, so. This is gonna be a hard ride back, though. So, Adams drove Cod back to the British Isles and remained by King James I's side. That's what Cod went to do. Ulrich Cod remains advisor to King James I until King James' passing. And then Ulrich Cod died mysteriously in 1630. The end of the story right there. But hold on for just a moment. Anjean died 8 years prior to Ulrich Cod, however. Now, I would call this the end of the story. I hope you all enjoyed the latest episode of Elreezy's Audio Plays, disguised by my destiny. So, here comes the credits for this one. Ulrich Cod, John Dee, Edward Kelly, William Adams, or so to say, Anjean Miura, are voiced by Ulrich Gottesen. The podcast is produced by Ulrich Gottesen executively, along with Katie Zeisel. Voice directed by Ulrich Gottesen. And even with this in mind, the script was written by Ulrich Gottesen. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. The next episode is going to be coming after I have written it. So, I hope you enjoyed the episode, and pip pip cheerio to you lads. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Bye. And sayonara.
Welcome to the next episode of Elreezy's Audio Plays. I am Ulrich Gottesen, and I would like you to welcome you to the next episode of Elreezy's Audio Plays, sponsored by Anchor FM. It is really easy to make a slashing a podcast straight from your own little noggins and minds. It's very much for free, and you can start a podcast with whichever category you choose from. I chose drama because it's perfect for me. And this episode is called Rebels of Dusk, and I'm gonna roll in with this episode. Cue it in. I wandered around Gifu Castle Town to see who ruled in the province of Mino. Who the hell are you? Who do you think I am? I actually know who you are as soon as your voice is heard. You are Kawabe Harufusa. Am I correct? You are correct on that one, Kolahire Kirotoki-sama. The Lord of Mino is Mizuguchi Naochika-dono. Mizuguchi-dono? I see. Oh, hello. I'm the Lord of Mino, Mizuguchi Naochika. So, you are the Daimyo of Mino. Then I have ambitions to take Mino from you. Am I right, Kolahire? Shut the hell up! Do not hear that in the presence of our Lord. Unless you are planning to betray him and take Mino for yourself. But yet, I do have ambitions to take Mino. Mind if I join you in this rebellion? Yes, you may.
Michikuchi Naochika, the Daimyo Amino, was betrayed by Kolobe Harafusa and Kolohire Kiyotoki. Michikuchi retainers went to commit suicide before Naochika himself. Is that so? Ugh. Rebels of Dusk was created by Elric Gotteson. The scenario was created by Elric Gotteson. Executive produced by Elric Gotteson and Katie Zeisel. And voice directed by Elric Gotteson and voice acted by Elric Gotteson. And also, this podcast is produced by both Elric Gotteson and Katie Zeisel. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Elreezy's Audio Plays, and there'll be a couple more coming before the end of the day. So, I'm Elric Gotteson, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye! And sayonara!